Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store or Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
News programs from around the globe.
What would we do with a drunken sailor? What would we do with a drunken sailor? What would we do with a drunken sailor early in the morning?
Way, hey, head up, she rises. Way, hey, head up, she rises. Way, hey, head up, she rises early in the morning.
Shave his belly with a rusty razor. Shave his belly with a rusty razor. Shave his belly with a rusty razor early in the morning.
Way, hey, head up, she rises. Way, hey, head up, she rises. Way, and up she rises early in the morning.
Put him in a longboat till he's sober. Put him in a longboat.
You guys ever just see something and think to yourself, what in the f*** is going on here? What's good? It's me. I'm back in full force. What's up, f***? It's me. I'm back.
Can't believe people actually find this shit interesting.
People, I regret to inform you that AI is, it's overtaking me. They are replicating me. They have recreated me. They have rendered me. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know when this started, but it has indeed started. Perhaps it's even been completed and now it's just being perfected. Who can say when what started appearing as me was in fact my alter. I can no longer be held liable for anything that I say or do on camera, for any of the words that come out of my mouth, any of the advice that I give. Okay? This part's from me, I think. But what happens next is between you and your God. This come to my attention, my physical attention, my bodily attention, if one even exists. My fistful of romance is all that matters now, people. My spiritual spit is all that they comprehend. I am a biohazard, okay? I am a digital disease. And to the operators and the handlers and the controllers in my midst, to my beloved toucher, Daddy's home. He's back, baby. He's back, okay? So proceed with caution, everybody, because I am the switch and I am the flip. I am the turntable and the table turned. I am the Navajo code. I'm the Navajo code. I'm legally unliable. I'm unlovable. I'm unlikable. But mostly, most of all, I am not responsible. Okay? I am legally not responsible for any of the sporadic losses of control or diabolical information drops. It's not me. It's my... It is not me. If I should blow a whistle, just know that it's because I'm lost in the woods somewhere and not because of anything related to anything else ever. I only blow whistles in the woods when I don't know how to get out. This is all just satirical, okay? This is fake. This isn't real. None of this is real, okay? No, nothing is real, including me. All is a coliseum, okay? It is all the coliseum. Aren't you entertained? Who knows? Maybe one day you'll see me die here, and finally you'll give me that thumbs up that I've been begging for. But even then, will it really even be me? Or will it just be another digital sleight of hand? Will it just be a different me? What if I told you that even dead, you could potentially be used as a human USB stick, a literal knowledge bank, a container of information that may someday be useful? And what if I also told you that your body, it doesn't even need to be present for this to occur? As a matter of fact, you could be completely incinerated or turned to worm food, and your value would not change even a little bit. It's a secret program that I'm talking about here. And in this secret program, which is more incredible than the wildest James Bond movie you've ever seen, which aren't really wild, so I guess it's absolutely horrible, horrible comparison. But in the wildest thing you can wildly imagine in your wildness, the CIA, also known as the Central Intelligence Agency, for those who don't know, has been using mediums to try to contact. They have dead people that they want to contact. So they've been using psychics and mediums for years, decades, to contact these dead agents and people who aren't necessarily agents, just dead people that they want to talk to, that they need a word from, that they need some advice from. Hello, we've been trying to get into contact with you. We know that you have been dead for 200 years. Can you please pick up your phone? Do you still have the same number? Hello? Is this you? And it's not just the CIA. The Russians have been doing it too. So we can only assume that the Chinese have been doing it. Anywho, this information comes from a plethora of files that have been released. You can find them in the CIA reading room. You can find them all over the place. But there's a specific article called "The CIA Secretly Uses Psychics and Mediums." It's by the National Enquirer, and it was in the CIA folders that were released upon the public in 2001, but it was written in 1978. And Victor Marchetti, who was a 14-year former CIA official, told this newspaper, The Enquirer, that the bizarre story of the CIA's involvement with the supernatural began about 15 years ago, so this would be in like the 1960s at this point. And he said that after the agency's best double agent had been caught and killed by the Russians, they were forced to seek alternative ways of contacting said dead agent. You see, the CIA had a very successful but kind of short-lived agent named Oleg Penkovsky, and he was a Russian KGB colonel, okay? And the Russian agent lasted little more than a year before he was arrested, tried, and of course executed by the Soviets. That's just the name of the game, baby. That's just all part of the business. And Marchetti said that after he was killed, somebody said, "Why don't we try and contact him?" And everybody looked around the room like, Well, because he's dead. He's a dead guy. He's a body on the ground. He's a headless piece of meat on the floor. But that's how they got involved with mediums, Marchetti said. Now, if you know anything about mankind at all, you know that there have been people attempting to contact the dead on behalf of kings for literally thousands of years. But supposedly, according to Marchetti, this is when the CIA got really into it. The success of failure of efforts to contact Penkovsky is still kind of a closely guarded secret. But it is believed that the experiment expanded into a full-scale program, a program of communicating with the dead. They began to contact our own dead agents, as well as the dead agents from the other side, Marchetti claimed. And he said that at one point, word flashed through the agency that contact had actually been made with the famous Major Popov, who is a Russian agent who disappeared in the 1950s. Nobody really knows what the F happened to this guy, but apparently the CIA was talking to his body somehow, the dead version of him, allegedly. So as far back as the 1950s, the agency was literally using psychics to try to find out what Kremlin leaders were thinking and planning. Okay, this was a big deal. This guy was a big guy. He was not some small CIA dude. Victor Marchetti, he joined the agency in 1955, and he specialized in Soviet affairs. He was actually executive assistant to the deputy director, Rufus Taylor, who probably nobody even knows about, but probably never even heard of this name. But he's one of the guys who believed that Israel actually did do the whole USS Philadelphia thing. But we're not going to get into that. That's danger territory, okay? It's safer to talk about how the CIA was using mediums and psychics to talk to dead people. Once the CIA allegedly even looked for sets of identical twins in Russia because they supposedly had the power to read each other's minds. And to the best of Marchetti's knowledge, they did in fact stumble upon a set of twins where one had defected to the United States and the other was still in Russia, and they never found these twins. But, well, allegedly. But this was something that the CIA was actually very concerned about. There was a twin in Russia and a twin in the USA, but there was concern that perhaps they were communicating to each other through their minds. Of course, the CIA has nothing to say about any of this. But there's no indication, Marchetti said, that they have stopped. There's no indication that any of this would have a reason to stop, because as far as he's concerned, it was a successful venture. But Victor did end up resigning in 1969, and he became one of the CIA's most prominent internal critics. And he co-authored this book called The CIA and the Cult of Intelligence, which you should go pick up and read. But the CIA isn't just interested in psychic twins and vampires. There's a declassified document literally in the Stargate collection, which I'm sure you guys have heard of Stargate by now, and it's actually called Have the Dead Anything to Do with the Paranormal? It basically goes over and summarizes the work of this Dutch parapsychologist named Dietz. And Dietz essentially concluded that some seance cases might actually represent genuine contact with deceased individuals. The document talks about this famous medium, Leonora Piper, whose seances had been studied so extensively that Dietz's position was that some communications through her seemed to actually be authentic communication with dead people. But they obviously make sure to keep it open to the possibility that this might just be some sort of ESP or clairvoyance, and that could be a potential alternative, an alternative explanation, if you will. All of this specifically reminds me of the Witch of Endor case from the Bible in 1 Samuel. The story basically goes that Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned him and buried him in Ramah. Samuel was a pretty big deal. And Saul had removed the mediums and spiritists from the land. So the Philistines assembled and camped, and they camped in Shunem. And Saul gathered all the Israelites together, and they camped in Gibeah. And when Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was pretty afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. So Saul inquired of the Lord, but the Lord didn't answer him, either in dreams or by the Urim, or by the prophets. So Saul said to his servants, "Find for me a woman who is a medium, so that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. And so Saul disguised himself by putting on these different clothes, and he went, and he and two men went with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, "Consult the spirit for me, please, and bring up for me the one whom I shall name for you." But the woman was like, "Behold, you know what Saul has done, that he has eliminated the mediums and spiritists from the land." She didn't know, allegedly, that this was Saul in her midst. So she said, "Why are you then setting a trap for my life to bring about my death?" So Saul swore this oath to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord lives, there's going to be no punishment that will come upon you for this thing that I want you to do." And the woman said, "Okay, who do you want me to bring up for you?"
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with: thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." But the king said to her, "Don't be afraid, for what do you see? Tell me what you see." And the woman said to Saul, "I see a divine being coming up from the earth." And he said to her, How does he appear?" And she said, "The old man is coming up, and he is wrapped in a robe." And then Saul knew that it was Samuel that this chick was seeing, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why are you disturbing me by bringing me up?" And Saul replied, "Well, I'm very distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has abandoned me and no longer answers me. He doesn't answer me through the prophets or in my dreams. So I called up you so that you could maybe let me know what I should do." And Samuel was like, "Bro, why are you asking me, since the Lord has abandoned you and has become your enemy? Just as you did not obey the Lord and execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Furthermore, the Lord will also hand Israel along with you over to the Philistines. So tomorrow, you and your sons, they will be with me indeed." So that's the story in the Bible of the Witch of Endor, when Saul used a medium to call up Samuel, who was dead. So it is possible, okay? It is possible for such a thing to happen. And therefore, it's not far-fetched to say that the CIA is doing it. And it's also not far-fetched to say that the CIA should not probably be doing it, because it is fucking witchcraft. Are we all on the same page here? The CIA commits witchcraft to talk to the dead. It couldn't be more clearer. There's actually another document in this Stargate collection that contains an especially bizarre attempt to explain mediumship without necessarily invoking their literal ghost. So it's basically magicians trying to explain how it's not magic, it's science, okay? And this theory is that a human being develops a kind of mental structure throughout life, and then after death, that structure stops developing, but does not immediately disappear. It's like when somebody's building a building and then they die, the building is still there, but nobody else is going to continue to build it. And according to this paper, a living psychic or medium could actually somehow, potentially, access this residual informational structure that is associated with the dead person. And this interaction would appear to be communication from beyond the grave, even if the dead person's conscious personality was no longer actively communicating, because they're not communicating with the dead person, the medium or the psychic or the witch or whatever you want to call it. What they're actually communicating with is the structure of this dead person that has been left behind in Cloud Nine or wherever it is. But this same archive also contains these accounts of experiments in psychometry, which is this alleged ability to obtain information about an individual merely by, like, touching an object associated with this dead person. There's a lot, like, when you're, you know, when somebody touches something and they're like, oh, I can feel her energy on this. It's that kind of stuff. And oh, she's sending me a message. But there's a summarized experiment that involved psychic Eric Jan Honnesson in this research folder. And it says that he was handed a letter that was written in 1796 by a guy who was connected to a condemned prisoner. And without being given any of the history, Honnesson supposedly produced impressions concerning tragedy and great sadness, despair, you could say, and ultimately suicide that was associated with the letter's story. This letter from 1796. And these conclusions were considered several of the impressions that were unusually accurate, which leads them to believe that this psychometry is a legit science. But it's magic. It's actually magic, okay? It's witchcraft. So how does the CIA talk about this? Like, how do they explain any of it? Well, it's kind of ironic, because they actually say that their own direct paranormal research ran roughly from 1972 to 77 before, quote, responsibility migrated to Defense Department programs. Do you know what that means? Let me break it down for you, because a lot of people, they don't know what this kind of stuff means, and it's not any fault of their own. The language is weird. But what this means is that it moved outside of the CIA, outside of the testing and experimentation and research phase, and into the applicable warfare phase. That's what it means. It means that, okay, we are given the green light. This shit works. Send it to the military. They can use this. We can win wars with this. It's ironic that the Witch of Endor story is also a war story. I'm just calling it like I see it, people. They probably figured out how to actually do it, thanks to the CIA, all the freaks and weirdos, that nerds and incels that work there. And then those freaks and weirdos and nerds and incels handed it over to the military for use. As a matter of fact, a great deal of the later material that is now sitting in the CIA reading room was actually produced by the Army, by the DIA, by the SRI, and also random contractors, they say. These random contractors could be people like, I don't know, Bill Gates, BlackRock, people like Fauci, Epstein. You get the gist. One of these government experiments revolved around a remote viewing session that attempted to look at Mars approximately 1 million years in the past. These people, all the weirdest things that you could ever imagine that they do or could do, or, you know, that somebody might want to do, they do. They just do. The story goes that on May 22nd, 1984, a remote viewer was given some geographic coordinates without even being told what they represented, and the target information, which was kept separate, specified that it was the planet Mars, time and interest, approximately 1 million years BC. Like, what the heck are we doing here? What is going on? What are we even talking about anymore? We're doing all this kind of stuff, and they're trying to tell me that the moon landing is real? Like, we're doing all this. Like, this stuff is so weird. But this viewer, this remote viewer, he began describing these enormous geological forms and something resembling pyramid structures. And he perceived a sort of devastated landscape that was dominated by storms. And he described enormous structures that seemed designed to shelter inhabitants from some kind of massive environmental catastrophe. And then he reported aliens. He reported beings. Now, according to the transcript, which is just a transcript, you know, these can just be experiments. They don't necessarily have to be like things that it's like, we're trying to figure out what's going on Mars a million years ago. But that's the thing about experiments, especially in the intelligence community. Take it from somebody who is there. It's kind of like it's only an experiment until it's not. It's only an experiment until it actually starts working, and then it becomes a project, okay? Then it becomes a mission. It's only an experiment until it starts working, then it becomes a mission. But the viewer described something resembling this large metallic craft, and he was instructed to follow these travelers in this craft, and he eventually described another location containing this unusual vegetation and this intense environmental activity, which could lead one to believe that there is a portion of Mars or somewhere near Mars that actually has some sort of sustainable environment, an environment that could sustain life, that has vegetation and therefore probably water, although we really don't know. It's possible that the vegetation on other planets, they simply don't require the same things that the vegetation on here or that the life on Earth requires, if these kinds of things are even real at all, right? But wait, there's more. There's a 1988 Sunstreak training session that was used to identify a target that was known as the Ark of the Covenant, because of course there was. And the remote viewer described this rectangular container, this box, that was apparently constructed from wood and precious metals, like the Ark of the Covenant was, and it was hidden underground somewhere in the Middle East, like the Ark of the Covenant could potentially be. Some say it's already up in heaven, though. Who really knows? But regardless, this is what the remote viewer said. This remote viewer began to associate the object with ceremony and spirituality in what the transcript literally calls resurrection. Okay. Then the remote viewer went on and he said that the object was somehow protected by entities of some type. And he suggested that any sort of unauthorized attempts to access or open it or get it or claim it or take it would result in total destruction by some kind of unknown power. What does it say about the reality that we live in when people employed inside an intelligence associated, an intelligence community associated with psychic programs are sitting in rooms attempting to perceive biblical artifacts through consciousness, when they're attempting to communicate with the dead, when they're attempting to psychically view Mars a million years ago, and this intelligence community we're led to believe is here to, you know, protect us and support us and work in our best interests, but literally every single chance that it gets to prove that it's doing that for us, it proves that it's just doing weird stuff. It's just doing really, really weird stuff. The CIA isn't even like considered one of the most, I mean, it is considered one of the most, but it's not even the most intense intelligence community, allegedly. Maybe that's the biggest psyop, is that the CIA is just, you know, it's just this, you know, it's just some weirdos, and they once in a while do weird stuff like MK Ultra, but it's not really like, you know, it's no way as bad as like the KGB or like Mossad or anything like that. Really? Really? Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? I'm not exactly sure, because the more I read about it, the more I'm like, dang it. I think it is pretty weird. But the deeper you dig into this stuff, and the more it begins to sound like the CIA just does the same stuff that the magicians and the wizards and the witches and all those types from antiquity and from the medieval ages and whatever, any era you want to pick, they're just all doing the same things, except now they've got a little acronym that makes it sound kind of cute, and we can sum it up in three letters, okay? And they have a new clothing designer. They wear Steve Madden now. Governments have always wanted better weapons. They've always wanted poisons. They've always wanted quieter killings, assassinations, and more, these more effective interrogation techniques. The CIA is basically, for the United States, the organization that develops these things. That's what it is. And if that happens to venture into witchcraft and magic, you should be okay with that, because it serves your best interest. It's for you, citizen. It's for you. Your tax dollars are single-handedly used to develop witchcraft practices that are used against you. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just a crazy person. Obviously, a really good example of this seeking out of weapons and new ways to seduce and overcome your enemies is all of this witchcraft that we're talking about. But there's another example. It's Subproject 54 of the MK Ultra program. And for those who haven't heard of Subproject 54, you just might not know it by that name. But when Senator Richard Schweiker questioned CIA Director Stansfield Turner about the project during the 1977 MK Ultra hearings, he described something that the congressional investigators had simply nicknamed the perfect concussion. What the heck is the perfect concussion?
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
Schweiker said that the documents involved these techniques for causing brain concussion and amnesia through weapons or sound waves while providing absolutely no warning and leaving no clear physical marks. So apparently the perfect concussion is one that leaves no evidence and perhaps can be caused from afar. The underlying theory was called resonance cavitation, which makes sense. The researchers were essentially trying to understand the physical mechanisms through which impacts and pressure changes could damage the brain. And they constructed these fluid-filled glass skull models that were intended to simulate the human skull. And they planned these extensive experiments involving human cadavers. They even had a blast testing area that had already been established. Like, this wasn't some conspiracy theory. It was an actual weapons program being tested. But then the proposal moved away from just understanding concussion to imagining the ways that we could produce a concussion. They figured out all sorts of ways to give people concussions. They had this one possibility that was outlined in the document. It was described as a pancake-shaped blackjack. And then they had another sort of idea, this concealed, spring-loaded impact device. They also had an air gun that would fire a small sack filled with some kind of shot. And they even had this other explosive pad that would be detonated directly against the body or the head. And then the researchers began asking whether or not you actually needed to physically strike the person at all, or if you could do this without even touching them. And the proposal considered propagating a series of blast waves through the air. It discussed basically placing a mechanical driver or even a horn against the body and tuning it to the resonant frequency of the head, basically turning the brain into a sort of scrambled egg, if you will. And most strangely, it proposed using tuned sound waves focused upon a target with acoustic lenses and reflectors. So anytime people start talking about, oh, the sound waves, oh, the frequencies, oh, the vibrations, that shit real. Those are weapons. They can be used as weapons. They can do all sorts of things. They can tune your body. They can destroy your brain. They can do all sorts of stuff to make you go cuckoo upstairs. It's real. It's real. And they can even take you away from where you are. They can put you into a different state of being where you have no idea what's going on because you are effectively concussed by the vibrations. And this was all part of MKUltra. You thought it was just like the Stranger Things stuff, huh? No. It goes way deeper than that. They were actually developing actual weapons to use against all of their enemies, foreign and domestic as well. The researchers developing this technology, this perfect concussion, said that they estimated the burst could only last 0.1 seconds and still be effective. Okay, 0.1 seconds. And this was back in like the 60s and 70s. So who knows how far this technology has developed by now? They also suggested that making a noise of such a short duration wouldn't even be that difficult to do. Nobody would hear it or see it coming, in other words. So this was not a proposal that was just trying to figure out whether sound could injure the brain. It was actually developing ways that the sound could be concentrated upon a person and then the event entirely concealed inside the environment, the surroundings that they're in. This weapon can be used anywhere to turn a brain into a scrambled egg. Isn't that crazy? Do you know what they called this? Brainwash therapy. So the CIA was seriously considering whether a human being could quite literally be concussed, neurologically disturbed, and rendered amnesic using a method that they developed that might leave the individual incapable of understanding what had even happened, and they called it brainwash therapy. This is real. This is not a conspiracy theory. This was in the classic MKUltra hearings that everybody has heard about, but nobody actually knows what went on. Subproject 54 is real. You can look it up. And in Subproject 54, the victim doesn't just become some injured person. The injury actually interferes, in case I'm not making myself clear, it interferes with his ability to reconstruct what happened to him. The weapon attacks the witness and the witness's memory simultaneously. I say witness, but maybe victim is a better word. Of course, this could happen to many people at the same time. You could do this to an entire group of people simultaneously. Maybe for the purpose of only taking out one person, but everybody around you, they're all witnesses, but now the victim and the witnesses, they're all concussed and they're all amnesic and nobody knows what actually happened. Maybe something like the Mandela effect. Huh. That kind of lines up a little bit. But the researchers also wondered whether a person could somehow be made temporarily resistant to this form of concussion. And their solution for this essentially involved introducing approximately 1 cubic centimeter of gas into the spinal canal. But the theory was that the bubble could absorb or alter the damaging pressure effects involved in the resonance cavitation, therefore essentially preventing the resonance cavitation. Now, when the New York Times examined these newly discovered documents in 1977, it reported that the CIA-sponsored researchers had blown apart liquid-filled glass skull models and experimented with cadavers while evaluating all of this weaponry. Can you imagine donating your loved one's body to science? Thinking you're going to be, that your loved one is going to be used as some medical progress, some tool of medical progress, and instead the CIA is just in a lab somewhere blowing their head up for mind control experiments to use on the public, or to use in targeted situations. Can you imagine? Oh, we're going to bring, yeah, grandma wanted her body donated to science. It's just the CIA coming in, picking up grandma and blowing up her brain so that they can figure out how to manipulate the minds of the public without anybody knowing. It's absolutely crazy. It's always crazier than you expect. In 1973, as we know, massive portions of the MKUltra files were like deliberately destroyed, or so they say. They're probably still in a vault somewhere, because there's no possible way that all of that information could get out. First of all, the public couldn't hear about it, but also the enemies can't get a hold of this stuff. It's too heinous, it's too powerful, and it's way too wildly disturbing. Like, it's evil stuff, okay? It also creates this plausible deniability if it doesn't exist, because they can just say, well, there is no document that says that we did any of this. Sometimes, unfortunately, IRL, in real life, there really is no evidence of the evil except the way that people are. There's nothing to prove it in court. You can just, yeah, just know. You just know. Like, they came out and they were like, yep, it got lost. It got lost? Like what? Like the technology of how we got on the moon? It just got lost? We just overwrote it on the video file? Like, what are we even talking about here? Another weird one is Project Often. And it was concerned with chemicals. So we have psychics, mediums, weapons. Now we have chemicals. We're back in the realm of poisons. And this one, I think, is specifically for you and specifically for me. I think this one was for us mainly, but they use it on celebrities. They use it on all sorts, probably. Allegedly, obviously, everything is alleged. You know, like, I'm not actually trying to say that they would ever do anything like this. I'm just saying that it could be used as used on people like that. But a CIA review described Project Often as beginning with intelligence objectives centered upon collecting information about pharmacological and chemical substances that could affect behavior. You know, your classic MK Ultra related project. And one listed objective of Project Often was the development of new compounds. The example that was actually given in the document, in the research itself, was a compound that could simulate a heart attack. There's been a lot of heart attacks recently. There's been a lot of people who shouldn't have heart attacks getting heart attacks, right? Who naturally you wouldn't expect to have heart attacks that are dying of heart attacks. It's kind of an interesting collection of words, so I'll just flesh it out a little bit. What that means is that the researchers were interested in a chemical that could make a person appear to be having a heart attack, even if the underlying cause was actually the drug. So that could mean producing some combination of severe chest pain, abnormal heart rhythm, blood pressure changes, some sort of collapse, like literally falling down, a shortness of breath, perhaps sweating like I'm doing now, loss of consciousness like I'll probably do later, potentially cardiac arrest, which is also most likely in my future, hopefully not immediately after this video. But the key idea is that to observers, doctors, or even the victim, it might look like you're just having an ordinary medical event, a heart attack, when in actuality, 'tis a poisoning. And the words simulate a heart attack, this is a really important collection of words, because it doesn't automatically mean what you might think it means. It doesn't automatically mean cause a genuine myocardial infraction by blocking a coronary artery, let's just say. It could instead mean chemically reproducing the outward physiological picture of one closely enough that the event could be mistaken for a natural heart attack. Some sort of natural cardiac disease. Why the heck would they want that kind of technology, you might ask yourself? Why are they pursuing this? But there's more. Other objectives included creating defensive blockers or immunizations against known behavior-altering chemicals and constructing behavioral profiles of volunteers under the influence of particular drugs. The idea was that if an American intelligence officer or maybe citizen, let's just start with officer. If an American intelligence officer suddenly began behaving strangely, analysts could compare his behavior against known chemical profiles and possibly determine whether he had been covertly drugged, whether he had been exposed to the enemy chemically. Basically, if Soviet intelligence poisoned or chemically manipulated an American operative, the CIA wanted to recognize the symptoms early on. They wanted to be able to diagnose what was going on here. But nearly every defensive technology of this kind contains an offensive mirror image, you could say. There's really nothing that is just defensive. I mean, not even the Department of Defense. It's also the Department of War, right? This is the exact same thing. So if you know exactly how a drug changes behavior, then you also know what behavior the drug can produce. If you know how to block a chemical, you understand the chemical. And if your research program specifically considers developing a compound that is capable of simulating a heart attack, it's difficult not to notice how that could be used as a weapon or a way of silencing people who maybe know too much, say too much, talk too loudly, chew too loudly, or go where you don't want them to go, or start digging into things you don't want them to dig into, whatever the case may be. So an important human being could potentially just collapse, and doctors would be like, oh, he's exposing cardiac symptoms. Looks like a heart attack. So they tell the news, and boom, the death or illness appears natural, a heart attack, but he was only 34. I know, it's bizarre, isn't it? And the apparent cause and the actual cause become two wildly different things, and only a couple people even know the truth. That 34-year-olds typically don't have heart attacks. Now, Project Often and its companion program, ChickWit. That's right, you heard me, ChickWit.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons, from tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond. Every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
They were part of this broader MK search world that followed MK Ultra. A Defense Department review described MK Search's goal as developing the ability to manipulate human behavior predictably through drugs. And it gets really, really dark here. This is the part of my research that really started making me cringe. The rest of it's strange and weird and concerning, but this part really made me uncomfortable. Chickwit was insane. It was wild. It's probably still going on today. But its job was to scour Europe and Asia for new and unusual, experimental, and even rejected drugs, collect information about said drugs, obtain samples, and feed promising compounds into a larger CIA Defense Department research pipeline. Assuming they're not still doing it, this Project Chickwit ended in 1973. It was the successor framework that continued some of these MKUltra era behavior research projects that were sort of forced to change name because they were exposed. And most of the material came from the pharmaceutical industry, the same industry that now puts commercials all over every single program you watch in the United States and in every single magazine and every single newspaper and every single website and every single subscription-based f***ing whatever. They all have pharmaceutical commercials. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird considering Project Chickwit? I go all these other places in the world and I've never seen another country have as many pharmaceutical commercials as we've got here. How many different chemicals they've got to sell for you, to give for you. All you got to do is go ask for them. They're like candy for adults in the United States. It's so weird. You go other places in the world, that kind of crap ain't happening. But I digress. They were substances and chemicals that had been rejected because of undesirable side effects, such as memory disruptions and panic and paranoia. Some of the other ones were loss of inhibition. Temporary paralysis was one. There was hallucinations, of course. Involuntary sleep and unusual these types of things. And of course, you know, cardiovascular distress as well because of the whole heart attack thing. The way that it would function, essentially, is that a pharmaceutical company might look at those effects and discard the molecule. But an intelligence service, such as the CIA, they could look at exactly the same molecule, and they would recognize that, hey, we might be able to use this. There might be a potential utility for us here. And they might even encourage the lacing of an entire population if they were evil. If they were evil, I'm not saying that they are. I'm just saying that, God forbid, this gets into the wrong hands, the evil hands. This type of project could encourage the lacing of an entire population of a country or region of the world to produce a completely different mental state that appears natural, but is actually entirely concocted. And in a way, this would actually build a sort of matrix. It would actually build a kind of simulated reality because they could put it in the water source. They could put it in the food. They could even drop it out of airplanes. It could come on the rain. It could flow through the rivers. And what you end up happening is something like out of Far Cry 5, where it's just kind of in the nature of a country. And eventually everybody kind of gets it into their body, kind of like fluoride, sort of like where it's just kind of like you're kind of just gonna be exposed to it if you drink city water and like stuff like this, right? And it could actually create an entirely different brain chemistry than any other population in the world, theoretically. But I'm not saying anybody does that. But the defect becomes the feature that the corrupt agency might want in this obscure situation, okay? That probably will never and has never occurred because it's just diabolically evil. But they even use compounds that were observed in animal testing. It wasn't even just stuff that was known to work on humans or not work on humans. It was also stuff that was known to work or not work on animals as well. Nothing really stopped them. And all of this goes beyond simple poisoning. It gets much, much darker, as if changing the brain chemistry of an entire population of a portion of the world, of an entire continent, isn't dark enough. Because for decades, researchers and authors have alleged that often and chickwit eventually moved way outside of the experimental pharmacology, and they actually brought all of their research into occult realms. There's a journalist, his name is Gordon Thomas, and he claimed that intelligence personnel began consulting professional astrologers during the course of this chemical research. They started asking questions of clairvoyance. They started employing occultists and practitioners of witchcraft. So we're moving out of the poison world and back into the witchcraft world. Once again, you can see how they use all of these things intermittently, interchangeably. They it is all the same thing. It is all part of the same process. They're all different elements to their concoction, their processes. They involve a wide variety of different types of normal and paranormal practices. But this guy Thomas, he claimed that by 1971, Project Often had three professional astrologers working for them for some reason. And they were reportedly being paid to examine like current events and record predictions about what would happen next. But he also claimed that intelligence personnel approached a Catholic Monsignor involved with exorcisms in New York City. They were seeking information concerning demonic possession. Allegedly, of course, the priest, the Monsignor, the Catholic, he refused to work with the CIA, but if there's not one, there's another. The researchers began allegedly approaching other people as well, trying to find more and more radical individuals who might be able to help them on their radical mission. And one of those people was Sibyl Leek, one of the most famous self-proclaimed witches of the 20th century. Leek was a very real celebrity, a celebrity occultist who wrote extensively about witchcraft and astrology. But Thomas, this journalist, he claimed that CIA-associated investigators questioned Leek about the structure of contemporary witchcraft and covens and black magic and occult practices and beliefs in the United States. That's why would they do that, you think? These people who are dabbling with chemicals and interferences of the brain and weapons that manipulate people's reality, how they perceive reality. Why are they now approaching occultists and people in religion to learn more about demonic possession and occult related activities and belief sets? Is this because CIA operatives were beginning to take demonology seriously? Seriously enough that they could weaponize demonic possession or use it somehow to control the masses? Was it something that they took seriously as a possible behavioral or psychological domain that was worth understanding for some reason? Did they foresee a future where a great many people would be under the influence of demons and they wanted to understand what that would be like and how they could control it? Your guess is as good as mine. I'm just a guy on the internet. That's all I got for you today. Thank you very much for watching. And if I don't see ya, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.